The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And good morning, David. How are you? Good
morning, my friend.
How's everything in your world?
Everything's good. I understand. All right, congratulations then. Are in order.
Thank you. We have our third grandchild. Susanna and Ryan had their little baby boy, third little boy, Leo Christopher, this past Wednesday. So all is good in the Leach household. Another blessing. Thank you. Thank you. One more coming. Chris and Amber are due on the 17th. So it'll be a busy month. Forever. Anyway, all good. All news. So thank you for that. Folks, welcome. You are in the middle, at the beginning of 2 hours of home improvement conversations. We are at 704-570-1110, and we're always grateful to have your calls because it allows us to talk about what's important to you. In the interim, David, I thought we will have our HVAC partners, Zeke and Scott from Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical and Charlotte Comfort Systems in with us next week, as we always do on the second Saturday of the month, generally. And we talk about a lot of different things, always a great show, always great partnerships, always a great resource. And one of the topics is air quality. And they always have good guidance on some just practical things plus equipment things that you can do from an air quality perspective. I thought this week, cautiously, because I want to be careful that we always give good information, but maybe we could talk a little bit about water quality. Depending on where you live, the price of water is different now than ever, and probably will continue to get continue to increase. The complexity of water treatment at the macro utility company level is something I won't tackle, but we know from all things, just the different kinds of the stuff that hit the water systems. It's just a huge challenge to maintain a safe water supply. But I think dialing it down a little bit, David, I would love for us to talk a little bit about water in our own homes. And you and I have both lived in different geographies where we've had either very hard water, in some cases well water, some cases community wells, and then other places where the water wasn't so bad. And I know when Barb and I lived in Indiana, it was insane. Like, you came out of the shower bruised. Yeah, it was hard water. That's not true. But it was definitely a challenge, right? And there's all kinds of implications for that. But I thought if you concur, that might be a good way for us to spend some time this morning. What do you think?
Sure.
You ready for that? You've actually done more in the whole house systems than I, but I thought we could talk a little bit about what are some of the challenges, like what are the things that affect water quality? I'm not ready. I don't think, David, we're ready to talk about the biological, the biohazards, and like if there's a chemical spill near your home or I don't know if you have a landfill and different things like that. I don't think I know I'm not qualified to have that conversation. So in this scenario, let's limit our conversations to, hey, what's it's a typical home with hard water or funny tastes or different things that you want to deal with. And I think we could talk about that. The other thing, that I know you've brought up multiple times, David, is there's an impact to everything in your home when you're in scenarios where you have either hard water or low pH, there's, I know that in our neck of the woods, down in Atlanta, there's some areas where folks have had to replace copper pipes because the pH was low and was never addressed. And then they started getting little pinholes in copper mm-hmm. pipe and so on. And so there's that aspect. Again, in all of this, it's all about, hey, let's give you some good information and let you take a look at the scenario. And we are not panic peddling or I don't want to be fear mongering. That's not the intention. It's just to get folks to pay attention to kind of what's going on. But I say that because there's lots of different things from water spots on your glasses and stuff when they come out of the dishwasher to serious impacts or effects on appliances and different, you know, things in your home. And I actually found a little chart that says, hey, if you have hard water, this is what the life expectancy of these, maybe, I think I found maybe six or seven different things. This is the life expectancy of those items with hard water. And then this is the life expectancy if you treat your water and soften it up, for want of a better term. So I thought that could be a place where we spend a lot of time. Are you ready to tackle that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean hard on you when it comes to these whole house systems and stuff, because you've actually installed them and made some good decisions there. I can share some basic product information, but we'll need your guidance on that. And of course, if that's what you want to talk about as a listener, then 704-570-1110 is your number. If you want to talk about something other than water treatment, then 704-570-1110 is your number. Either way, we're gonna take our first break. And then we will be back to answer your home improvement questions, whatever they might be, at 704-570-1110 when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
It is 7:15 on March 4th. Happy anniversary, or whatever you call that, to the city of Chicago, incorporated on this very date. I don't remember the year. I'll leave it at that. Lots of interesting things going on up there these days. We're going to talk about water quality, not city quality. 704-570-1110 is our number. 704-570-1110. That's our number. And we're happy to have your calls about water quality, but or any other topic, home improvement related. David, let's go, like, I guess most basic. If you didn't really know a lot about water quality, you could walk into a house and you could take a drink of water and say, ooh, something's up, right? It's like taste and odor. Mm-hmm. What other things did, like, you've got a water system, I think, in your house now, or you've had them. I can't remember. I think Water Boss was one that you liked, mm-hmm. but there's more than just taste and odor in water quality, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think first of all, you what we have to look at is what your chances of having hard water are, depending on the type of where your water comes from. So right. if you know, and there's people listening in different parts of the country, and there's actually maps of the United States that
yep.
talk about the water. You know, it's been going on long enough that they kind of know what the water quality is by where you live. So underground, first of all, is where most of the problems come from. So if there's a lot of limestone, chalk or gypsum in the soil, you tend to have harder water. If you're in an area where it's a lot of granite, then it's going to probably be a little bit softer. Just the water picks up those minerals, and that's what tends to make it a little bit harder and causes all the problems. If you're on a well, you're more prone to these things than you are, of course, if you're on a municipal system or a city water. So I don't know how far you want me to go with that, but
let's just leave it there for one second.
Okay.
And so there's always, there's, I think there's Well, I think there are two places that you're going to get water, right? You're either going to get something from a municipal system, which could could be from a large body of water that comes through a treatment plant. I grew up in Chicago. It came out of Lake Michigan. In Atlanta, it comes out of Lake Allatoona. But it's a large body of water. It's the water supply, and then they treat it. Other places, you can be on a community well. So there's a municipality that has this, a massive well, I guess, for want of a better term, pulls the water out of the water table, treats it, and sends it to your home. Or you can have an individual, a well on your own property. There are, I don't know, depending on where you live inside of a city, you may have inside of a city limits still a well. Where Chris and Amber are down here in North Carolina, this house that Chris has right now is technically, well, it is. It has municipal water access, but it started out on a well and they've left it on a well. So those are, I think, the three things you're most likely to have if you're on a personal well. And is it safe to say that, look, hey, you've got a well, so the likelihood of you needing some kind of water treatment is significantly higher than the average bear who's bringing it in from a municipal source. Is that a fair statement?
Okay. It is. And so so we go back, I just want to go back in a second. So you talk about where your kids live. My kids live down in that area as well.
Right.
Who would have ever thought that, right? But a lot of that area that is on municipal water, that actually comes from wells. And so
exactly.
if you put a well in the ground down there, you're and it's your own well, that water is probably the same water that the county is pulling out of the ground and pumping through their system as well. Now they're treating it.
Right.
And so it's going to be a little different, but that water is still well water in that general area down around the Wilmington area. So I find that interesting. I know a little bit more about that because my son works for the water and sewer department there in that.
We should have had him on for an interview.
I think that's
true.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So it's just interesting. And a lot of times that water is softened. So it's a little bit different, but there are still some minerals and whatnot. So I guess really what it comes down to is the best thing is to have your water tested to find out where you stand. And I know we're going to talk about that because that's really where you want to start, right?
It is exactly where you want to start. And there's a lot of, there's just a lot of testing solutions out there. You can get kits. I think even Home Depot may sell a water treatment kit. I think the better solution, rather than doing it yourself, is to send it off. Do you agree?
I agree. And
What's the solution in Charlotte?
Most states.
I'm sorry.
In most counties, I guess we should say, have some type of a program where you can go to them and tell them that you want to have your water tested, and they will sell you a kit, and it's. They give you the directions on where to draw the water, and then how much. They give you a little container, a shipping box. I shouldn't say that's everywhere, but that was the way it was in a couple of places that I've tested water. Anyway, they have an alliance with a state school university, and that's where the water is sent to, and they test it. And of course, there's different levels of testing. So if you just want to find out, what the mineral content is in the water. But, if you're out in the country and you're on a well and you're around a lot of farms, if you're near industry, maybe there's a gasoline refinery or maybe there's tank farms or something, you may want to go to a different level and have it tested. Or you maybe you're not anywhere near that stuff, but you may want to test for all of it, at least the one time. And to see what you're dealing with and what you're drinking, because you may want to use that water for everything except drinking and cooking. You never know.
Yep. No. Perfect point. Here's so The EPA recommends that you test your water once a year. I don't do that. I'm not going to contradict the EPA. Maybe the better thing to do is to share. There is a hotline to the EPA where you can kind of get clarification on things, because it brings up, David, all the things that you just said. Do you live close to a heavy agricultural area? Do you live close to a landfill? Do you live close to a heavy, like an oil refinery or high industrial scenario? Do you live close to an area where there's a lot of coal mining going on? All those things are things that they consider. So there is a website, www.epa.gov/safewater/WOT. If you wrote all that down, congratulations. We'll say it again a couple times in the course of the show. Or there's a simple toll-free number, 800-426-4791, 800-426-4791, where you can just ask the questions, right? They are qualified, I guess, to talk about both private and municipal water sources and things like that. So it's just a good resource. Let's talk about, you said something, and we're gonna have to take a break here in a minute, and so we'll pick it up right after the break. You said something that, hey, maybe your water is fine for everything except drinking and cooking. In which case you could consider like bottled water, right? Versus maybe a more expensive water filtration system or water treatment system for the whole home. We're going to run out of time on that, so we'll just take a little break here, and we'll come back and do some math with you about, you know, bottled water, whole house treatment systems, and what the symptom is, so that we can help make the best possible decision on which way to go. We are the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We are going to take a little break. We are here to answer your questions at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. And we will talk about the questions that are important to you when we return after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. That's our number. Before we jump back into our conversations about water quality and bottled water, et cetera, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. And I'm going to go off script a little bit this week because it seems to be on script, and talk about a water treatment, water filtration system for your whole house. And there's so many options out there. I was like, how do I make sure we talk about the right one here? The one I want to talk about is iSpring. It's a two-stage whole house filtration system. I like it for two reasons. Number one, it's comprehensive as a whole house solution. It's a two-filter system. And number two, you do not need to have a second mortgage to acquire this thing. Why I like the first part, the two-stage filters, or two-filter system, there's one that is carbon, and that takes out your chlorine taste, all your tastes and odors, and neutralizes, that's a chemical term, reduces issues with chemicals and so on. And then the second one is probably more friendly for the things inside your house, and that's a sediment filter, pulling out silt and dust and dirt. And there's enough construction going on in Charlotte and the greater area that it's easy for some of that stuff to get into the water system, and it's just good to pull that out and save you headaches with for everything from sediment in your water heater to issues with spigots and cutoff valves and so on. And the last point is it's $150. It's not going to break the bank to do this. I don't know that you want to try to install this yourself. You probably could if you're halfway handy and you have, you know, the room to do it, but it's probably also, there's probably some cost of installation to consider as well. But that's it. It's the iSpring two-stage whole house filter system. And that's our Home Depot product of the week for this week. All right, David, back to the conversation. We just kind of set up the topic of a scenario where the water in your house is fine, except for cooking and drinking. And if that was the case, then you could consider bottled water. So I just went out and looked. And I'm just saying, if you bought a 5 gallon, let's say the average cost of a 5 gallon bottle of water was $5 and $10. Let's just say $7 for a 5 gallon. So $1.40, $1.50 a gallon. And the average household consumption for that, for the drinking water, you would use between 3 and 4 of those per month. So $28 a month just to have the water. And then there's a dispenser you have to either pay for upfront or rent, depending on how you get at that. How does that compare with, well, I don't know, this is an unfair question. I'm probably jumping ahead. Let's just leave it at that for right now. So you're looking at about $28 a month plus whatever your initial investment is or your lease would be on the actual dispenser. And so you can get tricky on that. You can get just, you know, regular dispenser, or you can get one that refrigerates it and heats it and all kinds of tricky stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So that takes care of one aspect of the water. I guess the question would be, how would you make the determination that my water is okay except for drinking and cooking? How would you make that determination?
Well, I mean, you would have to have it tested, and prove that those whatever's in that water that you don't want to drink cannot be removed or cannot be removed from the water economically.
Got it.
So that's really it. Most things can be removed from the water and it can be treated. So, there's bacterias and things that can get in water that you have to run it through bleach, through chlorine,
right,
in order to be able to drink it. So, at that point, now you're introducing chlorine again. So do you put in a charcoal filter and take the bleach back out? Do you do? So I think you have to put all those things in on paper and take a look and decide, you know, where you go from there.
Okay. So let me make a statement and you say, you know, high, low, medium, as far as accurate. It is my sense that a good, holistic, reasonably priced solution would be a whole house filter system versus bottled water or versus a complex water treatment system for the average bear. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think so.
Depends on the test, though, still, right?
Well, it depends on the test, and then there's a couple other things. So let's and I don't know if you've got that on your list to talk about, but volume.
All right, let's do this. We're going to be right up against the break. So let's make that list of things to consider, because that's what I really want to get at. So people can just make good, intelligent decisions, right? It's be very difficult for you or me to say, hey, go do this without seeing that stuff. So we're going to take our break. We'll come back and we'll take a look at that list. And then I'd also like, David, to talk about what some of the ramifications are for your home, for the longevity of appliances and things like that, because that can weigh into a decision as well. Folks, you are with the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. We're going to take a little break here. We're talking water quality, but we can talk about anything that's important to you at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We'll chat when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call this morning. We're at 704-570-1110. Quiet lines this morning. I don't know whether our conversation is riveting or like irrelevant, but here we are. 704-570-1110. We're gonna charge on until you direct us otherwise. David, we started talking about, you said, hey, there's some other things to consider, you know, into this kind of broad brush statement that I made about, you know, here's a moderate solution. What were some of the things you wanted us to think about?
Well, I think especially if you go to any type of a whole house filter, One of the important things that you want to look at is the port size or the water connection size. And this is so that we don't interfere with the flow of the water. We want it to be able to go in and come back out and not be changed as far as pressure or volume.
That could become
very, very aggravating. And some people, the way their houses are plumbed, already have problems because it wasn't plumbed properly. The pipes are too small. It's fine if you're only using one spigot, but if somebody flushes the toilet, you have a faucet on somewhere, you have low flow in the shower or wherever, whatever the scenario is, it's because of that. So if you introduce some type of a filter system into the house that's not full port, of 3/4 or 1 inch, pipe size, then you really can have adverse effects on water pressure and volume, and it's aggravating. You don't want to do that. So one of the key things, it's filtration is certainly important, as you talked about, but we also want to make sure that the water is going through and is not really impeded that much.
That's important, especially if you're going to do it yourself. So when you say full port, you're talking about a valve that controls the water moving in and out, so that the opening in that valve does not reduce the area for through which the water can flow because of the size of the valve, right? So
correct.
If it was a ball valve and you turn it open, the diameter of the pipe, the diameter of the opening through the valve, and then the diameter of the input pipe, the diameter of the opening in the valve, and the diameter of the output pipe would all be the same, correct?
Correct.
And then and you said that's called a full port valve.
Full port valve. So you asked me about the system that I put in our house, and we're on municipal water through York County, South Carolina, and our water was not, as I tested it, it's not very hard. It's actually like five parts per gallon. So, it's pretty soft. So we're barely softening our water. I think we've only used maybe five bags of salt, if that, and I think those are still in the unit. So we're not softening that much. Actually, I had turned it down and made it softer, but it felt like you could never get the soap off of you.
He's like all slimy.
Yeah, so we turned that back up a little bit. But anyway, the municipal water is normally already softened, so it's not something that most people have to worry about. But the reason soft water was not the reason I wanted to be able to filter my water, as you talked about, be able to try to reduce the chlorine a little bit. And I was able to do that with the Water Boss that I bought, which is a brand name. And it what it does is, as the water flows through it, it meters the water and then it rinses itself and it gets rid of those contaminants or whatever's in the water. So it's filtering it for sediment, it filters for chlorine, and then it's softening the water as well. But I don't have to touch it, other than I put a bag of salt in it every once in a while. It's very, very seldom. If I could have done that without the salt, which I probably could have, it's just I wanted to use that particular system because I'm familiar with it and and they work great. They last a long time. But that's why we did it, because I wanted it to pretty much be as low maintenance as possible, right, for me.
No change in out filter cartridges and stuff like that.
Exactly. So you don't have to deal with any of that. And then also, because it's doing it automatically, but the other thing was that it was one inch in and 1 inch out. It does not affect the flow of our water at all. Even when it's backwashing and doing its thing, you notice no difference in the water volume or the pressure.
Perfect. All right. We've got Worth on the line, has an unrelated question. Let's get to Worth. Worth, good morning. Sure. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Fine. How about you?
Great. How can we help?
Got a question. Cast iron bathroom tub recoating, epoxy spray coating. What's your opinion?
Done properly, it's great. It saves a big fat headache trying to, if you've ever moved a cast iron tub out or in, it's a very attractive solution. It's worth it all according to, are you going to try to do it yourself or have it done professionally?
No, I've made enough mistakes in my life.
You got to love a man who knows his limitations. That's good. Yeah, so if you, Worth, we're here for you, right? So if you had said, I'm going to do it myself, we might have helped you, remind you that you could have some limitations. But so you've made a good decision. David, I don't know if Bathcrest of Charlotte is still doing that stuff, but I think Bathcrest, there's a couple different people out there who do that stuff all day, every day, aren't there?
Yeah, there are a Miracle Method, I think, still does that. I think that's the name. And then Surface Specialists are another one, and there's probably a multitude of them. So I think best thing is just to look them up and do a search on that for your particular area, and then just figure out who it is. You may already have somebody in mind.
Well, I had one done about 15 years ago, and it held up well. The people that did it then are no longer in business, so that's the reason. Okay. I didn't know what's changed since then, but like you say, the one I had done 15 years ago still is holding up fine.
Yeah.
Of course, as you know, you can't use the harsh chemicals and stuff on them. Like cast iron.
Shouldn't anyway, really. But
as a general rule, if you don't do that from the beginning, the need to do these resurfaces is a little bit less.
Right.
But we say two thumbs up to a properly applied solution.
And Bathcrest is
properly. I like the words properly applied.
It's always a qualifier, Worth. There's always a qualifier, right?
Yep. Yep.
And David, you said Bathcrest is still at it.
Yep. I'm sitting here looking at a picture of Jim fishing. So he's
okay.
He's fishing in his part time. So.
So Bathcrest of Charlotte is one we know, Worth, but certainly a good company doing that is an investment. We think an investment well made.
Right. Okay. Thanks for your help.
Thanks for the call, Worth. So Jim's fishing. Okay.
Well, it's a picture on their website of him fishing. So
I'm just messing. It would be more fun if he was in studio to tease him a little bit. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. Let's go back though. So you talked about the system that you have in your house let's talk for a minute just about some of the challenges of having like hard water or water quality issues. We're not talking like bacteria or health hazard kinds of things. Those you should test, you should deal with those, as recommended, but just common stuff like water spots. You said, let me just run this by you, and then because it will be up against a break, and then we can come back and be more holistic in how we think about solutions. So I went out to a website, and by the way, it dawned on me that one of the things that I worry about with water treatment systems, and I just know this from personal experience, is you'll call somebody up and they'll send someone out who will spend 4 hours at your kitchen table and won't leave till you sign, something that says, if you don't buy it now, your kids, are going to be, below average IQ and all these terrible things. And it's a hard sell and it's just obnoxious. So the first thing is you want to find a company that you can trust. It dawned on me that Home Depot does have a water treatment. I've never called their people out, so I can't tell you from personal experience, but at least, you've got a reputable company standing behind them. So that's number one. But number two is there's definitely, I went out when I thought of that, I went out to the website and started looking like, well, what are some of the impacts on things like washing machine, dishwashers, all those things in your house where hard water has an effect on the unit itself. And we won't have time to go line by line through that. But when we come back, we'll look at the effects of hard water on the lifespan of some things in your house, but then also some just day in and day out maintenance things as far as how things look and how things feel. For me, David, like when I shampoo, I've got so much hair, it's got to be precise. So we don't want to mess with that either. 704-570-1110, the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll be right back.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon. And we may not have David back yet, but we're going to keep rolling. Before we get into our topic, speaking about some of the effects of hard water on appliances and household things, let's talk to Ray. Ray has a question. Good morning, Ray. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Hey, fellas. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to ask a question about a whole house filter that we have. We've got something called Iron Shield, and what it is, it's a tank with a regulator on top of it that does the backwash. And what it does, it goes through several cycles, goes through the wash and then a brine, and then it'll go and then finish up, and then it'll just cut itself off, but there's several cycles involved. And I need to know, does the regulator or the head need to be serviced on any kind of regular basis?
David, I don't know for that particular one. It sounds like a system similar to what you have. And is there something that needs to be done with that head?
Well, I can't speak to that particular unit. The unit that we have does not have to be serviced. I mean, it's either working or it's not. It's self-contained. It does its thing. So, so far so good for us. It's 3 years old now. And, I've seen them in houses that were 10, 15 years old and they never had to do anything to it.
I'm looking, I'm looking Ray online
unit because we had iron in our water.
Yeah.
And they just installed it.
And I'm just looking online at it. It doesn't look like it's called. When I look at the maintenance piece of it, it's not calling for routine maintenance in that regard. But I'm only looking, quickly at it. Who installed it for you, Ray? I mean, you don't have to tell us the name. But I think one of the things you could do is either check out their website. They have a toll-free number on here. Or speak to the people who installed it, and they can tell you whether there's a routine maintenance required for that or not.
Yeah, just a quick question is, I did call the plumber that installed it locally, and he came down one time, looked at it, took some pictures, and said, we'd have to take the whole head off, pull all the stem out and everything, and replace it if they did that. So I don't know that that's necessary.
Is there something about how it's functioning that causes your concern?
Yeah, it's been in there a couple of years, and towards the end of the cycle, it just kind of squeaks a little bit because it does have air. It's a regulator on top, I believe. So that was just my question and concern.
So you don't have to put, so it's a salt-free unit?
Yes, yeah.
It's only for iron, really.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say only. It's predominantly for iron. Yeah. So it takes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You'd just recommend that I'll just call the company and just see what they say.
I would do that. Let me see if I can get back to that number. I changed where I was. I apologize. Here it is. 866-481-0428. It's iron. Iron Shield. See what they tell you.
We'll do that. I really appreciate that. I just wanted to kind of see your thoughts on it.
Okay. We appreciate the call, Ray.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. David, we were talking right before the break. Hard water in general has, you know, for me, when I get to either a hotel or I'm visiting family where the water is hard, I know it's really hard to brush my hair after, you know, after a number of shampoos. It's just like, it's hard. But on a more serious vein, hard water does have effects or ramifications for the lifespan of certain household items. And I found this list, like it says washing machine, dishwasher, toilet faucet, electric water heater, and a gas water heater. And these are, I'm sure, based on averages and so on. But the life expectancy of a washing machine on hard water, if all it's got is hard water, is 7.7 years compared to 11 years with water treatment. And this, they say expected. So again, I think there's probably some qualifications. This is for guidance. It's not like you know, launch a satellite kind of detail. But a dishwasher is comparable: 7 years without treatment, 10 years with treatment. Toilet: 2 years without treatment, 6.5 years with treatment. We should qualify that, David. That doesn't mean, well, there is some impact to the porcelain, the vitreous china, whatever, itself. But the real issue there is the guts inside, right? And so when you say 2 years, you're probably not replacing the entire toilet in 2 years. You're replacing just the guts. Would be, there's no qualifier in this data, but I think that's a legitimate qualifier. 5.5 years on a faucet versus 9 years. Again, I think that's the cartridge and the components not, you know, taking everything off. Electric water heater, 6.5 years versus 13 years, and a gas water heater, 5.5 years versus 11 years. So by this data, I mean, there's some reasonable, there's some legit reasons to consider treating your water. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Absolutely. So here's what we did. We just ran. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say when we come back, well, let's talk about tankless water heaters and what it does to those.
All right. So let's do that. We're going to take our break. Also want to do just a quick thing. Well, we'll just come back from our break, folks. 704-570-1110. Going to take a quick break and then be back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110 is the number. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. David, going out, you said, hey, let's talk about one more thing. We ran down a list of maybe half a dozen major appliances in your home where the lifespan was shorter on hardened water than on treated water or softened water. And you said, hey, don't forget about on-demand water heaters. Talk about that for a second, please.
Yeah, that is that's one of the things that gets missed a lot on tankless water heaters. And if you read the manual that comes with your tankless water heater, those are supposed to be flushed once a year. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is that you talk about the buildup in traditional water heaters, tanked water heaters. It tends to settle to the bottom. It also builds on gas, on electric. It builds up on the elements as well. But that's what hard water will do. On a tankless water heater, you have to remember that the water is flowing through a coil, a small coil, and the water is superheated. So all the flame is around that coil, and the water flows through it. And by the time it gets in it and it comes out the other end, it'll take it from, you know, 65 or 70 degree water to 120 degree water. If you have any buildup in those inside that coil, it'll reduce that fairly quickly. Because what it does, it almost acts like an insulator in the, right, inside the coil, and it doesn't allow the heat to heat the water up. So technically, you're supposed to service a tankless water heater once a year, and what they do is they basically flush some type of acidic product through it, something like vinegar. I'm not sure what they're using, but anyway, that's what they're doing, is they're cleaning that coil out. If you're on well water, you really have to pay attention because you will lose so much of the efficiency of that unit just because the buildup happens so much quicker. So if your water is at all hard coming out of a well or coming out of the ground, it can become a problem. It's not as big a problem in the city because they soften that water. It comes to us pretty soft already. So it's not as big a deal, but it can build up. So you should follow the manufacturer's recommendations and make sure you're getting that flushed. You can do it yourself. You could hire somebody to do it, let them teach you how to do it. You can learn to do that and do it yourself from there on out. But nonetheless, right. it needs to be looked at because that's a tankless water heater is a pretty good investment. It's a fairly expensive investment, so you certainly want to maintain it and take care of it.
Well, I think if I remember right, we had a situation, at least one, where the unit stopped functioning, and it was only because there was so much buildup that it was triggering the heat limit sensor, right? Where we're saying, hey, this is too hot, and it was shutting the gas down. Because it wasn't moving, it wasn't moving the water through enough. So exactly. A very legitimate point. Thank you for making that.
Yeah, I wanted to throw that in there because you know my brother Tim is a plumber. He lives in Ohio. Plumber Tim, and he's been on the show multiple times with us in the past. But where he lives, the water is full of lime, and so people try to filter and keep that cleaned up and soften the water and filter. But even at that point, it's still, you could tell in that area where they live, when you look at the faucets and the fixtures and you can see it, but he won't even put a tankless water heater in that area because it's
just because it's so much maintenance. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just can't keep up with these. So it's just not fair to the customer. And, you know, I don't want to be on the hook for that, you know, and I don't want them hating on me because of that. So,
right. Good point.
Something to think about.
No, that's good. That's good advice. Let's stay on that topic for a second though. So, and maybe we can talk about what some of the issues are and then what some of the solutions are. One of the things that I think we've even got a tip of the week out there somewhere, talking about the most obvious issue with harder water, not necessarily super hard water, is just water spots on shower doors, glassware and stuff coming out of the dishwasher and things like that. There's some cool little tricks that we've shared over the years to get the water spots off and then to keep them from coming back. In your dishwasher, I think just using a good drying agent, is probably critical. Depending on your dishwasher, you have that feature or not, and then. Again, depending on the model, you can actually dial up how much of the rinse agent or the drying agent comes out in the process. I know that on the newer dishwashers, from an energy efficiency perspective, many of them do not have the heating element to dry the stuff off or the dishes off at the end of the cycle, and they're just relying on hot water and whatever rinse agent you have. Or drying agent you have to actually dry the dishes. I know that's the case. We have a Viking dishwasher, and that's the case in ours. Works great, but I do have to keep the dry agent or the rinse agent. I forget the name of the blue stuff we put in there. It's right. Very common. But
a quick trick with that too that we learned with ours because when that was our first dishwasher that we put in that did not have an element to dry, and the first time. We did not put the drying agent in there, but what I did learn after reading about it was that, as you said, it uses the heat from the dishwasher. Well, one of the ways you can cheat that helps out a little bit with that is to run hot water at the sink and get it nice and hot before you start the dishwasher, because then you start the cycle off with hot water. Which builds up in the machine, and that helps dry the dishes as well.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. The I have a recirculating pump on the house, and I have a timer on it, and so it probably sounds silly, but I have a time naturally to come on, you know, right before I get in the shower, right before Barb gets in the shower. Right. But I actually have times later in the day for a later shower on Saturdays, but also for after dinner for that exact reason. So the system is primed with hot water. And when the dishwasher comes on, it's got hot water immediately. So there's a lot of ways to do it, so you don't have to think too hard about it. And because thinking right. hard is not a strong suit for me. So, right. All right. So that's good advice. So one of the things that we talked, and I think we have a tip of the week out there from a long time ago, just using Rain-X on your cleaning your shower doors off, like using a vinegar. If the glass is etched, it could be a challenge. But many times it's just a matter of a slightly acidic solution. So some vinegar and water will take the water spots off, and then spraying or using Rain-X on the shower door is a really good solution. We have a glass block wall in our shower, and our water is really good. We have it's soft fundamentally out of the from the municipality, so we have very little issue with water spots. And then I have a whole house system, so that takes a lot of the challenges away. But I still put every 3 months, and ends up being every 6 months or 9 months. I clean it all down and put Rain-X on the glass block, and I never have an issue with
Yeah, we do too. Those things. And because the other thing is, it's the soap that mixes with if it's slightly hard water, and that makes it worse. So if you can keep it like you said and keep the glass closed up, the pores in the glass, you won't have those problems. And it might take a couple of minutes to do it, but it's worth it to protect that investment, especially if you've had a frameless door put in lately. They're not cheap.
Correct. So the other thing that I think is worth mentioning, and then we're going to go to a break, is how effective your laundry detergent, how much even just your regular soap in the shower kind of lathers up. All of that is affected by the hardness of the water, mm-hmm. right? So there's how clean your clothes come, staining on your clothes and stuff like that. So I'm not trying to sell anybody systems or whatever, just saying, hey, here's some of the things that you want to consider as you make a decision. Do I want to invest in a system either an expensive system or just a whole house filtration system? We're going to have to take a break here, folks. So we're going to go ahead and do it. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. And we're going to be back after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Before we dive back into our topic at hand, water quality, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. And this week, staying on script, coming off script, everybody, whatever you want to talk about, how you want to say it, I like our Home Depot product of the week this week, iSpring two-stage whole house water filtration system. It's relevant to our conversations this morning. There's two reasons that I like it. Number one is it's got two filters in it. There's a carbon filter to take out the taste and the chlorine and the odors and so on. And there's a sediment filter. The first one is really good for you and for your comfort. The second one is probably more important for the comfort if there's such a thing, just maintenance and operation of things inside your house. So that's what I like about it. It's two stage. The other thing that I like about it is it doesn't break the bank. You can buy this system for $150. So not super expensive. I think you should factor into your cost that you probably want to have a professional plumber install it. If you are a consummate do-it-yourselfer, you can do it, right? It's probably not that hard. The question is always, how much room do you have and how do you have to route the plumbing? But we want to make sure we're transparent, and that probably should include an installation cost. But that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week, the two-stage iSpring two-stage whole house water filtration system. and that's it. Let's move on. David, we were talking about just the different, just the ramifications. We kind of shared some data around the lifespan of key things like water heaters, dishwashers. We talked about the efficiency or effectiveness, if you will, of laundry detergent and just lathering up in the shower and so on. There's one other things are affected by a hard water that are just like inconvenience, not necessarily serious ramifications, or maybe talk to both. I don't know.
Well, yeah. So, you know, shower heads, you know,
right.
All aggravating, you know, and if you, and a lot of times you can tell if it's, and it doesn't necessarily have to be hard water, but that's normally, it's normally
culprit,
what it is,
yeah.
Is minerals caught in the shower head. So, you know, we like the ones that you can rub that they're rubber and it'll break that stuff up and it'll fall off. But that could become pretty aggravating. Aerators in the faucets also can be jacked up with lime and the minerals, which slow the flow down on the water. So those are some small things, but they could be aggravating.
And then that's the hard water piece of it. If you have a lot of sediment in your water, and that can be a function of the water itself, or it can be a function of where you live. If they're adding subdivisions and access to municipal water in the system, then the likelihood of some sediment getting in there is pretty high, because the same things get affected, right? The valves, the aerators and so on, and you're wondering, like, why am I not getting the flow out of this that I need? And a good sediment filter helps solve that problem also.
It does. And I was going to say, probably the best filter for sediment is a spinner filter, and that's one that the water actually it kind of spins it in its container in the device itself. And it forces as the water goes through, it forces the sediment to drop to the bottom, and then the water passes through. They're not very expensive, and they don't mess up the water flow very much. And they're fairly easy to get the sediment out of them. So it may be something that you want to look at. I think they call them a spinner or a spin down.
Okay.
A sediment filter. They're pretty neat. I've seen them on a few handful of wells in my life. I've actually put a couple on for some folks. So it was they work great.
So let's go there for a minute. Let's talk specifically to situations where it's an independent well on your property and that's your water source. Almost, I don't know. It feels to me like almost in every one of those situations, some sort of water treatment would be in order. What am I missing, or how should we think about that?
Well, I mean, it's like we said, it starts with a water test. So what the main things you're looking for are hard water, and then the pH. We haven't talked
right.
much about
we haven't water spoken pH. About that.
Right. And that's the other piece of the puzzle. Where I live here in York County, my neighborhood's older, so a lot of the houses still have wells. And my neighbor in particular he's had a lot of trouble with his copper because the water it tends to be on the low pH side here, so it's a little acid. And so through the years, the house being 40, 50 years old, the pipe has thinned out because the acid has eaten away at the pipe. And so he's developing pinholes, and, you know, every few months, you know, he tells me, I got more leaks, and, you know, he's getting to a point that he's going to have to repipe the house.
Yeah.
Because it's you know, what he's seeing now is just the leaks that are underneath the house. You know, those pipes are going up in the walls too.
Everywhere, yeah.
Sure. So it's a ranch house, which is great, but you know, that becomes a problem. And so what happens in those situations, and I don't want to scare people that maybe are facing this situation, but you don't have to take that pipe back up in the wall again. They can actually drill through the vanity in the bathrooms and through the kitchen cabinet and drill through the floor and drop those pipes through those holes and then
yes.
put your new stops. And that's a way to cure it. Same thing beside the toilets. The places that are that do become a problem are in your showers and your bathtubs because they do have to get into the walls and hopefully behind. You know, if it's not on a, if it's on an outside wall, you have trouble. But if it's on an inside wall where you have a faucet, a lot of times they can open that up from the back, get the pipes up in the wall, and reconnect them.
Just patch up the drywall. All right, so we got to take a break. When we come back, David, I want to talk a little bit about some ways that you might know whether that there's a pH problem in the water, sure. especially if you've got copper pipes. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take our last break here, and then we'll be back to answer your questions at 704-570-1110 right after this. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're in our final segment here. 704-570-1110 is a number if you got a question you want to get in this week. 704-570-1110. We're talking about water quality, but we can talk about anything that's relevant to you. So certainly call with any home improvement questions that you've got. David, one of the things we were talking about right before the break was low pH, particularly low pH when you've got copper plumbing. There's a couple things you can kind of watch for that would be an indicator that you might be having some corrosion problems in your with a low pH if you've got copper pipes, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be like, what would be some of those signs?
Well, normally you would see on your porcelain fixtures, your china fixtures, so toilets, tubs, sinks, you'll see kind of a bluish green streaking.
Right.
And that's the copper, basically the copper from the acid water. So it's deteriorating the pipe from the inside. And what it does is it thins it out and it's breaking it down. Of course, if you're drinking that water, you're getting more copper than you probably need. I don't know how bad.
Yeah, I don't know what the MDR
for
copper is.
You know,
yeah.
you need that element of copper in your body. It is good for your arteries, I understand, but I don't think you need that much. So mainly, I think that's what you look for. And if you know that, you probably should do a pH test. On the well water. This is usually specifically well water that's a problem. Now, you know that the problem in Flint, Michigan, when they talked about the lead, that's what happened up there was that the pH dropped and their pH was 8. So let me drop back for a second. Normal
14,
pH
right?
range, right, 6.5 to 8 is somewhere in between there. You're in pretty good shape.
Right.
You get below 6.5, you really start getting on the acid side, and that can be a problem. And then you don't want to get too high above 8
highs
on
the heart
scale.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But that's what happened there was that their water dropped from 8, which was the maximum, to 7.5 or 7.3, and then it started pulling the lead out of the pipes and the old pipes in the ground. It's always
yeah.
been lead there, but it was never a problem until the pH changed. And that's the opposite of, I mean, it was breaking the pipe down because it was lowering on the pH scale. So, but not to worry, if you have low pH, it can be treated with an acid neutralizer system. And it's basically just a piece of equipment that goes into the plumbing system. And they add calcite to the water, and it's just a powder. You have to put it in, you know, once a year, every couple of years, depending on your situation. But it'll bring the pH of the water up and get you closer to 7.
Got it. We got Chris on the line, and then Dan. Let's get Chris. Hey, Chris.
All
good
right.
morning on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. I hope y'all are as well.
We are.
Haven't interrupted your show in a couple of months. Thought I'd do that this morning.
Welcome back. What's going on?
Something I've been wondering about is part of some of the retaining walls and things like that around the house, coming up to the brick house, is brick and mortar. and it was newly installed in about 2010. They were capped off with slate, half inch up to a half inch thick slate caps, like as big as a 16 by 16 or 12 by 12. And a lot of those are loosening up now and coming off, even though most of the pointed areas or the actual mortar between the bricks is fine there.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering, would repairing it with a type of adhesive like you use on a block wall be just as well, or is that going to... I've somewhere heard that if you do that, then you're messing it up if they want to do a complete repair.
No. David, I defer to you on this, but I think the easiest solution, and many times it maybe should have been in the original installation, there's a landscape adhesive that holds up to the exterior. I think it stays resilient after it cures because you're going to get some expansion and contraction in the slate. And if you reattach those with that landscape adhesive, it's particularly for those kinds of products.
You know,
Chris, I think that solves your problem.
Do you know which product that is?
David, the one that P&L or PL has a landscape adhesive. I've used it myself.
I think that's when they built the block wall around the front area. I think they did use that P&L product for the whole wall.
Yeah.
But then what I was wondering about, is there sort of a space created by the concrete, the mortar that sits on top that matches the rest of the, whatever it is, 3/8 of an inch? That would be you. Would you scrape off all of the old mortar and go straight from the brick to the slate with the bonding agent, or would you want to fit something back together so it looks like it did?
I would leave the mortar to a point. You might have to take a grinder and grind some of it down because you want to leave a little bit of the adhesive built up, but it's not that thick. I think if
sorry about that, David, but thinking about the mortar bed that the cap sits on is as thick as the mortar bed between the bricks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you scrape it off, then it'll just be slate to brick. I don't think
you want to leave that mortar if you can. You get rid of the loose stuff with the wire brush, blow it off, and then use the adhesive.
Okay, and just try to build it up a little thick. There.
Yeah, you're going to put a bead of adhesive on there that'll fundamentally fill the gap.
Right.
It doesn't have, you don't have to spread it across the entire back of the piece of slate. You just need to get some beads on there that are going to hold it in place.
Oh, that's a good point, too, right? Because when they did the block wall out there, they didn't smear the whole thing. They just put big beads on it.
Right. It's all you need.
Correct.
Yeah. The key to the whole thing is, though, is to keep the water off of it and let it draining. So hopefully they put good drainage behind that wall. Because most of the time that's the problem, is it gets wet and it's masonry, it sucks it up
and it level, and there is a French tube, whatever you call it, going behind it. So it doesn't, the water never sits up against it. It's exposed to the air. It gets kicked around, I think, or I don't know why it should be coming loose there.
Because you've got expansion and contraction, and you don't have a strong bond from the mortar perspective, and so you need an adhesive.
Yeah, and no weight on top. It's their cap.
Right.
So.
And slate tends to flake, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great talking to you, and thank you. I'm interested because I have copper pipe supply in this house as well. So I appreciate the show.
Thanks, Chris. We appreciate the call. Have a great one.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Here comes Dan. Dan, good morning on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing this morning?
Excellent. How can we help?
I've got a 24-inch bored well with an above-ground pump. I live way out in the country. And if I'm thinking about putting in one of these home filtration systems, I've got a, you know, it's in a, I don't want to say one of those big tiles, big pipes. You know, it's bricked around it and everything, put a lid on top. Do I put my filtration system out there at the pump?
Mm-mm.
Or do I put it underneath the house?
You need to put it somewhere where you can get to it easy. We didn't really talk about that much.
That's a great point. I'm overweight and 65. I ain't crawling under there.
There you go. If you have a garage or a closet somewhere that's easy to access, it's worth bringing that pipe to that closet and to that equipment, and then taking it back to the point where you started.
Man, I built my house in 78, and the pipe comes from the well that goes under the ground and goes right under the house.
Sure.
On the other end from the garage.
Right. So it's okay. I'm telling you, it's worth it to move it. I put mine in the garage. You're more likely to service it there, and it's easier to take care of. So I know we're running out of time. So.
Yeah, we are right up against the end here, Dan. Look, send us a note at askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button, and we can make sure we get good follow-up as well. Okay? All right, folks, that wraps us up. 2 hours of home improvement. We really appreciate you listening. We hope it was as informative for you as it was enjoyable for David and me. And you know that we like to remind you every single week that we think that the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.